Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
We've trained hard, we've done a lot of competitive work. We feel like our game's in good shape. Our players are ready. It's been about preparing their mindset for the challenge ahead. And I think we all know what this game represents and the challenge that it does represent. And we feel like we're prepared as best we can.
When you consider what's at stake, the opportunity that both clubs have created for themselves and the prospect of what comes after that with a victory, the status of the players, everyone involved, you can't be consumed by that.
Well, they're the thoughts of Simon Goodwin and Luke Beveridge today at the big press conference. 7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to Sports Day, this grand final eve. It's no ordinary grand final, this one. It's an historic Perth grand final. It's an historic, groundbreaking grand final for Melbourne if they win. Their first flag for 57 years. Their first AFL premiership. It's an historic grand final for the Bulldogs too. Because if they win their second in 5 years, they will have done it having been dealt the most difficult of demands in their travel requirements after losing their last three games. And they will do it having not been favourite in any of their finals in both campaigns, in both 2016 and 2021, with the just one exception when they took on Essendon in Launceston at the start of this campaign. There's so many storylines. And most have been told over the last 2 weeks since the prelim finals concluded. But tonight we have a couple more to tell. Tonight we complete our grand final week scoop by chatting to Demon great Todd Viney, father of Jack, and Bulldog legend Doug Hawkins. We'll hear from Storm godfather Frank Panisi in the lead up to their prelim tomorrow night against the Panthers. But let's begin by crossing over to Perth and welcoming you, Scoop. It's been a busy day, no doubt.
Hello, Jared. It certainly has been. So the annual Captains Coaches Media Conference, Jared, which you would so well know and so many of our listeners, that photo of both captains holding the Premiership Cup aloft is usually at Spring Street, isn't it? Yep. Right at the top there with 100,000 people or so in the background after the parade. A little bit different today, Jared. It was done at Kings Park, which, for those who don't know, is essentially Perth's version of the Botanic Gardens, looking over the river. And, you know, it was a great press conference, went for half an hour. Anyway, when both coaches essentially split off and the captains went and did their picture, I was walking back to my car, Jared, which I parked sort of 10-minute walk away, and I got in my car and was driving off, not many people around, and there's this guy in Western Bulldogs colours lying on a park bench,
yep,
sunglasses on, feet up, and I drove past him and I stopped the car, put the window down, I said, Bevo? It was Luke Beveridge just sitting there. A, he couldn't have looked more relaxed, and B, Jared, I think it really hit me, maybe him at the same time, that this is not in Melbourne. Like, we know we're not at the MCG, but he wouldn't have been able to have that momentary bit of solace had it been in the middle of Spring Street with 100,000 Victorians shouting. So it's not Melbourne. It's not pretending to be Melbourne. I'm here at Cran where the grand final eve lunch has just been held. The who's who of the AFL and the who's who of Perth all gathering here. We've got Up to Stadium in the background and you know, we're, what, 24 hours away or 25 hours away from that first bounce. It's been a strange build-up, I must say, Jared, but it's been an amazing one.
Can you tell us very quickly a couple of suggestions today, one of which has seemingly upset half the country. Basil Zemplis has suggested, if I'm correct, that there should be a minute of clapping to acknowledge
at the 20-minute mark. Yep.
The difficulties that people are having outside of WA with COVID.
Yeah, I got to say, Jared, I mean, I was speaking to Basil just before the lunch. This is a guy that's just trying to do a good thing.
Yep.
You know, the same guy that had the grand final parade knocked back twice by the AFL and WA health officials. He's really aware, as the Lord Mayor of Perth, that we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, as Nat Fyfe used the terminology last night. We're robbing Melbourne to have this amazing grand final in Perth. I think he's just trying to pay homage to the Victorian people. Now, I understand, Jared, that not everyone's going to like it, and I saw on social media, which can be a bit of a cesspit, really, that that didn't go down particularly well. But I think it's just one guy trying to be a little bit positive. And if it happens tomorrow, I'm not sure. Marcus Bontempelli, for what it's worth, Jared, when asked about it today, was really supportive of it.
Yes, I've got to say, I find it very difficult to get upset about the gesture. I mean, I think, as you rightly pointed out, he was just trying to make people feel good in a very small way and acknowledge the difficulties some are going through.
I mean, this is a guy that understands footy really well, Jared, as you would know. Caught it for a long time.
Todd Viney is on the line, the Melbourne great. But before we get to Todd, just a quick word on the passing of John Elliott, who I knew quite well and I liked a lot. For 20 years, he was a huge figure in the game and for all sorts of reasons, good and bad. But at his peak, he led Carlton in one of the most successful eras. Condolences to the family and in particular Tom, who I know well. Rest in peace, Jack Elliott. Let's move on. Todd Viney has a significant role in this, in that he has been part and parcel of the Melbourne scene for a long, long time. But more importantly, Scoop, he sired one of the great players for tomorrow, and he's my favourite for the Norm Smith medal. Welcome to you, Todd.
Oh, boy.
Yes, g'day, Jared. G'day, Sam.
Great to have you on board. Are you nervous?
Well, yeah, look, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a bit toey. You know, just hoping that we go really well. I think we're really well positioned and primed for it. I think it's been the most consistent year I've seen in my Melbourne team for forever, probably. And so I'm hoping they do well. I'm hoping that Jack gets to do what I didn't do and come home with a cup.
I challenged Gary Lyon on the Melbourne team last year on the couch. I remember it well. I've thought for a long time, 2 or 3 years, that this was the most talented group I've seen. And then there's been a couple of additions to that group, which has made it even more talented. It's difficult to get everything right at the one time. And you were part and parcel of the recruiting of many of these players. The addition of May and Lever was targeted recruiting. The selection of Tomlinson was targeted recruiting, and unfortunately he's not there. But a lot of things, as you know, Todd, you've been in footy for a long time. We've got to go right for you to get an opportunity to win, let alone to win one.
No, absolutely. You know, one of the big things that when we tried to start to rebuild the club after, Mark Neill left, was try and form an identity, try and work out what our culture is, what we want to stand for, how we want to be seen by the football industry as a whole. We started to rebuild, and it's taken a period of time to get it right, but it's been about trying to get the right people in the playing capacity, but it's also been the right people in the coaching and the administration, and I think the continuity of leadership's been strong for us for a period of time now, and it's enabled us to execute a plan. And now the plan is at the point where we're challenging for a grand final with a relatively young team. So hopefully we can strike now, but the future looks also pretty positive.
We've already spoken to Peter Jackson and Paul Roos, two key signings, but you also were one of those key additions in the early years of Paul Roos. It must have been some hard yards because it didn't turn around all that quickly.
No, it... It's not easy. We're in a professional competition. Every team's trying to do their bit in trying to get to the top, and it's dog eat dog. It's ruthless, as I heard Nathan Jones talking to you on the couch. It's a ruthless industry, and it's not going to be easy. No one's going to give you a leg up. It's going to be done by, building really solid foundations. And I said, getting the right players, the right people in place, the right coach, the right game plan. And then you've got to rely on that all come together. We recruit Christopher Tracker and he does his knee in the first year. We recruit Jake Lever as a key position intercept player and he does his knee in the first year. We get Stephen May in, he gets injured, they don't play together. So it just takes that time to get that continuity of everyone playing together, the right people, the right time. And, as you say, a bit of luck. And obviously we've had that in 2018. We saw bit of a false dawn, probably, where we had a patchy year, but came home really strong, made a prelim, then got blown off the park. But 2019 down, 2020 COVID, just missed out. But there were some good signs at the end of that year that we were looking the part. And then this year's been fantastic. What the club Simon Goodwin and the team has been able to put together.
Jared Healy and Sam McClure on Sports Day. Melbourne great Todd Viney joining us live. Todd, can I ask you, when I speak to Melbourne fans both here in Perth and back home in Victoria, as you can imagine the pain they've been through, they're looking for ways their team is going to lose. They're saying, is it going to be Bontempelli that gets hold of us? Is it going to be Libba that has one of those games? Is it going to be Bailey Smith that has another great final? Could it be Stephen Martin that quells Max Gawn? Todd, can I just ask you, as someone that will obviously be barracking for the team tomorrow, which part of the Western Bulldogs outfit most worries you?
Well, they've been a very good team all year. I mean, their midfield is going to be a clash of the two best midfields, really. Slightly different philosophies around the contest. They like to bring some extra numbers up and outnumber. Melbourne have been the hardest defence to get through because they like to maintain their defensive shape behind the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how the tactical part of the game plays out. But ultimately, it's around that midfield contest. Who can play the game in their forward half? I think if Melbourne win that battle, I think it's going to be pretty hard to beat. So, you know, the Melbourne, everyone's looking at what could go wrong. But I just think the boys have shown all year enormous resilience to come from behind, travel to Queensland, get told to turn around, come back, play a game the next day. They've shown enormous resilience. The game plan stood up all year. The key stats of the game that you want to look at, they're either number one or number two in. So I think they're really well positioned to execute the game plan and get a win.
And Todd, I'm sure you'll be happy to know my co-host and the best footy analyst of the last half a century has actually backed Jack to win the Norm Smith medal. No extra pressure there. A good chance to take it home in your eyes?
Oh, well, there's a star-studded field, isn't there? But the game becomes a real contest in the grand final and finals. So, you know, when we were looking at putting the team together, you know, the competitive players that stand up in finals was what we were looking to try and recruit. And Jack was one of them, but he's got a few teammates that are going to be pretty handy too. And the Bulldogs have got numerous players that can play that style as well. So he's in with a chance, but it's a red-hot field.
He hasn't had an easy run in either, it's got to be said, Todd. He was, you know, he's had that problem with his foot that curtailed him. And he was in red-hot form a couple of years ago, 2018. And it's taken him a fair period of time to get back to his very best. And I think he's probably at that right now. But he also had to endure, the disappointment of losing the captaincy. So you must be really proud of the way he's endured those hurdles and got himself back to his very best form.
No, that's right. I think he celebrates his 150th game tomorrow in the grand final. And that 150 games has been, you know, pretty solid. You know, playing early days in a team that wasn't very good, and the club in a bit of strife, and then he's had a lot of body issues, which hasn't enabled him to train and play every week. And you know, it's been a struggle. And every player probably tomorrow will have some sort of story, but he's another one that would say, you know, I've had to fight pretty hard to get to where I'm at. And he's just about right to go. You know, hopefully he gets a bit of it. The next 150, a bit easier. Your great mate Ollie Wines has just won the Brownlow, and I think he's played 180-odd games. So he's almost a season a bit more than Jack. They started the same time. First game was against each other, but Jack's body hasn't enabled him to have the best 150 so far, but hopefully tomorrow and the run forward is a bit easier.
They're interesting comparisons, the two men, because there was a suggestion you could have recruited both, but you can tell me if you thought it was your decision not to, given that they were a bit almost the same player. But for a period of time, probably the first 3 or 4 years, Jack was well and truly ahead of Ollie, but now Ollie's gone ahead of him. But I reckon if he can pull off the Norm Smith medal, he might have just drawn equal and maybe got a nose in front.
You barracking for your bet here, Jared?
Yeah.
Are you barracking for a prediction?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
No, the world works in mysterious ways. And, you know, the guys that have found, you know, have struggled, sometimes they get a bit of luck at some point. And to come away with the Premiership Cup would be all Jack is hoping for.
Yeah.
And if he can do that, well, he's a very, very lucky man. And he'll be very proud of that.
Can I ask you where you're watching it and who you're watching it with?
It's been tough, Jared. I, since I've got out of the coaching box, basically I've become a lunatic supporter and yell and scream too much. My wife's banished me from the family lounge room to the bedroom.
Okay.
So I'll be watching it by myself. Hopefully, if things all go well at halftime and we're looking the goods, I might get invited down to watch it with the rest of the family. But I'll probably be watching it by myself of the whole game.
I've heard a few of those stories. I mean, the hard realities of domestic life have come to the fore in this last 24 hours.
The second TV has really become important, Jared. It must be said in the family household.
I've heard a story from a well-known Melbourne supporter who has banned one of his children for the same reason, just yells and screams too much. Just totally excommunicated from the family. This has certainly dragged it out. Todd?
No, when you're in the coaching box, you've sort of got a responsibility to say cool, calm and collected. But since that's gone, I'm just a raving lunatic, really.
Well, there's plenty of raving lunatics around. Welcome to the fold, I'm sure a lot of people are saying. And there's plenty to shout about. I know my sister Gabriel up in Bright, she'll be screaming from Mount Hotham if, in fact, the Demons can get up. Have a great day and... let's hope the best side wins, as I've been saying to everyone, but clearly it's go D's for you.
Thanks, Todd.
No, absolutely. Thanks for your time, boys. See ya.
The great Todd Viney joining us live on Sports Day. I was talking about your sister last night, Jared. At dinner, Gay came up in conversation with Daisy Pierce.
Oh, yes.
Who I think good is very good friends with Gay's daughter.
That's right.
And Daisy, of course, lives with her... partner and her two beautiful kids in Bright. She's a bit nervous. In fact, everyone's starting to get a little bit toey, I might say, Jared.
Well, give us cousin says, paint the picture for me where you are right now.
So I'm at Crown, the grand final eve lunch, which is usually at Crown in Melbourne, on the Friday, has just happened. Gary Lyon was the host and hosted sensationally well. BT was involved as well. Daisy Pierce. I sat next to a table where Glenn Bartlett was.
Yes.
You can just start to feel the elation has transcribed into nerves. And I'm not sure you feel the same with Bulldogs people, Jared. I'm not saying it's a free hit because there's no such thing in a grand final, but you know the one that's under pressure.
Well, clearly, Luke Beveridge isn't under pressure. He's having a rest on the park bench, so he's feeling very relaxed.
Hope Bevo's not listening to that, or maybe I shouldn't have told that story.
Scoop, are you going to put yourself under a ration tonight, or are you going to get very undisciplined in the lead-up?
No. I'm speaking in a dinner later tonight, and then I'll be home in bed early. I can't speak for Jake. He's always gotten home later than me.
Yes.
And I've got to be up at 6 a.m. for a morning TV cross. So I'll be very disciplined. Don't you worry about that. And we have more Sports Day coming at you live after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Had some down times swimming in the Fremantle pool. Went to the Scarborough pool yesterday. Swam down there and not swimming too far out in the Indian Ocean with the little men in grey suits out there. Over here in WA,
took a little drive to a place called Yanchep and laid on the beach, and then went up to the pub and had a palmer and a pot and just reflected on the challenge and the year that's been. And it was just nice to have some time out of my own. And
welcome back to Sports Day. That was first thing this morning in that media conference. Jared, just both coaches telling us how they've been getting away from it and spending a bit of alone time. So Simon Goodwin driving up half an hour north of Joondalup, where they are, sat on the beach, had a palmer and a pot. I went up to him afterwards. I said, so Simon, did you take anyone with you? He said, no, just wanted a little bit of goody time. That's exactly what he said. Yeah. On a serious note, Jared, we have had another coronavirus case emerge here in WA. We don't need to fear it, though. So authorities said that a woman who flew into Perth from New South Wales without a valid pass earlier in the week tested positive, but she was rejected entry to WA and she went straight into hotel quarantine. But, there's 700-plus cases in Victoria at the moment. Jared, it's obviously a different story to hear, which is COVID-free. So any positive is obviously going to make headlines. But touch wood, we are going ahead as planned with the 60,000-plus at Optus.
Well, that's great news. Gillon McLachlan will be pretty relieved putting his head on the pillow tonight, no doubt, Scoop. Can I ask you, Scoop, you've been there for 2 weeks and you've seen a lot of the players and you've heard a lot of the players, and we've had players on and they've been everywhere. Are you concerned that they're going to overcook it and they've overcooked themselves and they're going to leave it on the park?
I think it's a genuine concern, Jared. And I think speaking to players, that they're all wondering how they're going to react to it.
Yeah.
I mean, Melbourne have played one game in, what, 3.5 weeks? The Dogs have been all around the country. They've both still had 2 weeks to burn.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've been here talking about the grand final and the build-up for 2 weeks, and we're starting to get exhausted. You know, you and I want the bounce. So you can imagine the players going to bed getting a little bit restless. You can only imagine that.
Yeah, I find it really challenging. I mean, it's impossible to know, and we'll all be wise after the event. But, gee, everywhere you go, Big Max is here, or the Bont is over there. They've had the Brownlow medal. They've had Bonts at all manner of requirements. But there's been no one shoulder more responsibility than Big Max. He seems to have done it really well. But, gee, it's a very, very different set of circumstances that all these players are having to endure and then come out at an unusual time, a night grand final, and produce their best.
Yeah, I'm not sure Max has been quite as relaxed as Bevo on the park bench this afternoon, but I digress. He still looks pretty relaxed. Jared, I've got to go quickly speak at this lunch. I'll be right back. But first, I know you've got Doug Hawkins coming up. I caught up with a few special guests, and I asked them, they're going to go into the Tommy Ruff draw for their predictions heading into tomorrow's big game.
Daisy Pierce, who wins tomorrow? What's the margin, and who wins in Orr Smith?
Heart and head D's. But it'll be close, though. I can't see either of them going away. So 15 points for the D's. Norm Smith, I can see Bont.
Bont in a losing?
Yeah, heroics from Bont.
Oh, this
it'll
is
It'll be
good.
An even team-like performance that Melbourne have been pretty solid with all year. So, yeah, Bont in a losing.
Gavin Wanganeen knows all about playing in big games. Two-time premiership player, and Jared, like you, he's a Brownlow medalist. Talk me through tomorrow. What happens? Who wins? Who's the Norm Smith medalist?
I think Melbourne will get over the line. I think they're really strong right across every line. And I think the only thing that might worry them is that they've only played that one game in the 4 weeks.
You reckon that might be a challenge?
It could be a challenge. I don't think it will, but if they don't win, that's the problem. And for Norm Smith, I think Oliver will win the Norm Smith, because I think he's had an amazing year. He'd probably be a little bit disappointed he didn't win the Brownlow, and I think he'll come out and just smash it.
Tyson Galtek knows all about playing in big games. He kicked the first goal in what year was it in the grand final?
2010. If you want to,
I should remember. I might have had a small investment at about 80-1.
87-1.
He remembers. What happens tomorrow? Winner,
Norm Smith medalist. Look, I have a soft spot for Melbourne. I like Melbourne. I like the fact that Melbourne has, on paper, an elite midfield. That Bulldogs have an elite first touch, clean hands, dynamic from their inside out. So that's where the challenge is going to come. Who can dominate the inside? And I think Melbourne can get it.
Norm Smith.
Norm Smith. Let's go Chris Petrarca.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. More coming up, including Bulldogs royalty Doug Hawkins. But before that, it's time for news headlines with Kiara Parker. It's all thanks to Polaris.
Thanks, guys. Making news. More than 200 protesters were arrested today, 31 in Northcote, as anti-lockdown demonstrators again took to the streets. After a protester at Wednesday's rally tested positive to COVID, creating fears of a super spreader event, it's been revealed a small number of Victoria police officers have been identified as close contacts, forcing them into isolation. Victoria has recorded 733 new local COVID cases and one further death, with the first trigger point for an easing of restrictions delayed. Golf and tennis will remain banned this weekend, with 80% first vaccine dose target due to be reached on Sunday, now not expected to hit until mid-next week. The federal government is inching closer to adopting a drastic reduction in carbon emissions over the next 30 years. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has used a speech to industry leaders to signal the government's intention, saying unless we adopt net zero by 2050, then international banks will punish Australia by increasing borrowing rates. And John Elliott has been described as larger than life and a straight shooter, as public figures pay tribute to the former president of the Federal Liberal Party and the Carlton Football Club after his death at the age of 79. More news at 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. A sports update for Tyre Power. Here to help you stay safe on the road.
Given it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, they're expecting 29 degrees tomorrow here in Brisbane. It's a fast track, Suncorp. I think we're going to see some points. I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring event. I think both teams have got plenty of points in them, as well as being good defensive teams. They can both attack. So I think, yeah, it will be tight, but it'll be a high-scoring, tight game, which it will make for great viewing for the people watching it at the stadium and millions watching it on TV.
Certainly will. The great Frank Panisi there, a good friend of this show, Jared. They've got their prelim against Penrith, Suncourt Stadium, 4 o'clock tomorrow, so before the AFL Grand Final. And hopefully we've got another week of celebrating their journey again this year.
Yeah, it's an amazing club. I think it's their 7th consecutive prelim final. I'll stand corrected on that, but I think it is their 7th.
Yep.
We know they've been regular winners of the flag, and they're looking to go back-to-back again. But the good news is their timing absolutely superb. They've got their best side on the park, probably for the first time this year. So hopefully they can get through the prelim final against the Panthers, and hopefully they can go into the grand final uninjured. I know you've got to go, Scoop. You're being called up by the people to head on.
It's the Cowboy.
The Cowboys go calling, and when the Cowboy calls, you go
That's
running.
Right.
We've got someone more important than the Cowboy to talk to on the other side of the break.
What?
We've got Dogs Royalty, Dancing Douglas Hawkins. He's going to join us after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You're listening to Sports Day, and we're here for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally in 2021. Of course, for Wilson Homes, who believe in great design, so you love being home. Speaking of which, Frank Panisi, the general manager of the Melbourne Storm, I'm sure would love to be home, but he's got far more important things on his mind than where he's sleeping at night. The Melbourne Storm again have got themselves through to a prelim final against Penrith. It's on at 4 p.m. tomorrow as part of a massive day of sport for all of us Melburnians. Frank, the Godfather, joins us. Frank, you're getting used to these things, but you must still get toey prior to a prelim final.
Yeah, g'day, Jared. No, absolutely. I mean, it's we're really proud that tomorrow's our 7th consecutive prelim, but it's just like, you know, each one, doesn't matter how you've been in there. This is a tough one because these are ones you don't want to lose. I mean, you get so close to a grand final to lose prelims. You know, thankfully we've won more than we've lost, but we've experienced losing them, and it's not a great feeling. So I think that feeling in itself spurs a lot of the players on. We were in a position in 2019, we had a terrific year, but fell short at the prelim, and it was still burning in the boys' minds.
Last time you played the Panthers, round 20, not that long ago, you gave them a nice old touch-up. So how do you prepare knowing that that counts for nothing?
Oh, it counts nothing for a number of reasons. One, it was nearly 2 months ago, but they did have a few players out that day in fairness to Penrith, and including their main player, Nathan Cleary, who's with Tom Trbojevic, the best player in the game at the moment. So he was a big out that day. And having said that, he was out in their round 2 game when they beat us on the bell up at Penrith Park as well. So, they can certainly win without him as well. But, yeah, that one, they had a few out that day. We played extremely well. It was on Suncorp at the same time, a 4 o'clock game. So we're used to playing at 4 o'clock at Suncorp. Albeit it was a little bit cooler that day than it will be tomorrow. But we'll take something out of that game, but certainly, you know, we're not going to get too carried away with that win.
Tell us about the 4 o'clock start. Why is it penciled in, or is it structured for 4 p.m.?
Well, the game was, as always, the second prelim is always on the Saturday night at 7:50. But once it became obvious that the AFL Grand Final was going to be played at that time, the NRL made a decision. In some ways, it was a controversial decision moving the game to a Saturday afternoon, but I think, you know, when the AFL Grand Final is one of the big sporting events of the Australian sporting calendar, so I think the NRL made a very sensible and smart decision rather than putting their head in the sand and trying to go head-to-head with such a big event. I think by playing at 4 o'clock, I think it was the most sensible decision. I think most people in rugby league, Jared, agreed with the decision.
Yes, I did forget about that, and I would absolutely concur. And I would hope that the AFL would do exactly the same thing. I actually get frustrated, Frank, even though, as you know, when I went up along with a lot of guys in 86, it was this us-against-them mentality. And in some respects, you know, there is still competition to be the biggest sport in the land. But, I mean, in reality, we have coexisted for a long, long, long time, and we're going to coexist for another 100 years. So, you know, knocking the administration, who's made a smart decision, to me, says a lot about those critics and the chip on the shoulder they've got.
Yeah, Jared, you couldn't imagine the NBA or the baseball or whoever going head-to-head with the Super Bowl. They wouldn't do it. And that's in a country which has got a lot more people than we do. And so it's just a very, very smart decision, I think. Look, we live in uncertain times, and basically things, the AFL Grand Final was changing itself, the day of it and everything else. So we never anticipated this. So, you know, I think, you know, it is. It's a smart decision. That's the way sport should go forward in this country. We've got to work together rather than trying to compete against each other all the time.
A couple of injury pluses. Josh Addo-Carr back from a hamstring and Brandon Smith starts at hooker after what looked like he was going to be out with a serious injury, but cleared of a facial fracture. So that was really good news.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that tomorrow's our 26th game of the season, and it's the first time that we've been able to pick our very best team. We've basically got everyone available that would make the 17. There's no players that we can say would be out, and there's no players even carrying injuries, which at this time of year is quite remarkable when you think it's been such a tough season. Josh, you know, we could have played him at a pinch 2 weeks ago against Manly, but given that it was an elimination, we didn't want to risk it, and I think that's paid. Our medical staff should be congratulated on staying strong on that, and so should the coach. And thankfully, you know, Brandon had no injury whatsoever. So we go in the game. We've had a great preparation. And if we don't get the business done tomorrow, there's certainly no excuses regarding our preparation or the team that we could field.
So you've spoken about Cleary. Who else would you be keeping an eye on and put the cooler on if, in fact, they start getting hot?
The team just came in through now, and a player that was missing from last week is their State of Origin winger, Brian Tohu. He's a big player for him in terms of he starts their sets at the back from their kick returns. He's the most aggressive ball runner in the game at the moment in terms of bringing the ball back. He starts their sets and gets some momentum. So he's a player that on our kicks downfield, our chase has got to be strong. We've just got to watch him around dummy half because he certainly sets the platform for Cleary to work his magic. So he's probably a player. And the big Fijian, Kikau, he's also been under an injury cloud. He's just been named as well in their 19. So, again, he's another player that's similar to Tohu, gets him go forward. So, look, they've got lots of other exceptional players, but those three in particular probably cause us the most danger.
Penrith's, they're built on power, yardage of their forwards. They've got an ironclad defence, which is almost what you need to go anywhere in any sport these days. And Nathan Cleary's kicking game obviously sets them up. Do you see it, given that they're so strong in defence, do you see it being a high-scoring game or do you see it being a pretty tight one?
Oh, definitely a tight game. I think there could be some points in this, even though both teams are the two best defensive teams in the competition, and both statistically, and I think we both are. There's no doubt about it. But given it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, they're expecting 29 degrees tomorrow here in Brisbane. It's a fast track Suncorp. I think we're going to see some points. I don't think it's going to be a low scoring event. I think both teams have got plenty of points in them, as well as being good defensive teams. They can both attack. So I think, yeah, it will be tight, but it'll be a high-scoring, tight game, which it'll make for great viewing for the people watching it at the stadium and millions watching it on TV.
And what of the other prelim final? How do you see that unfolding?
Yeah, I just got asked that question by our staff. I was on a Zoom with our staff back in Melbourne, and it's a genuine 50-50. Look, South Sydney having the week off is always a plus, but Manly, except for their performance 2 weeks ago, they've been in red hot form over the last 6 weeks. And I mentioned Nathan Cleary. Well, they've got a player called Tommy Trbojevic, which we did a great job containing him. he was unbelievable against the Roosters last week when they beat him by 40. So if they can't contain Tommy Trbojevic tonight, I think they'll struggle beating Manly. But, you know, Souths are coached by the master, Wayne Bennett, who knows how to win big finals games. So I'm going to just go Manly just in I wouldn't say it's an upset, but probably, I think they'll win.
Well, let's hope we're talking again next week, Frank. Big extended preview of a grand final, but you've got some work to do, clearly, up against the Panthers. But so far, so good. We wish you well, and fingers crossed for tomorrow night or tomorrow at 4 p.m. All the best.
Thanks, yeah. We're very excited, and thanks for all your support. And hopefully look forward to speaking to you next week.
Fantastic, Frank. I'm sure we will be. Frank Panisi from the Melbourne Storm. The best of sports day this week is up next. Well, that wraps it up. Scoop's already had to disappear. He's off celebrating prior to the grand final. I hope he doesn't play his grand final too early. But thanks for your company. I hope you have enjoyed both the colour from both the Bulldogs and the Demons right throughout the week. It was great to hear from Doug and Todd Viney. And what a nervous man he will be with Jack running around trying to win the premiership that Todd tried to win for all those years. All the best to both teams. I think it'll be the Demons by 13 points. Doug went the Dogs with 16, so I'm going to flip that coin. Go Dees.